So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And I've been thinking as I prepared for these messages, all the ways that we connect or sometimes disconnect and reconnect again. And I've talked about putting Legos together to make something, about fitting that last piece into the jigsaw puzzle. And I hope that that sparked your thinking about all the ways that connections are important in our world. In this season, these few weeks before Lent, we're talking about connecting to God's creation. The first couple of weeks, we talked about big things, small things, and today we're talking about God's creatures as gifts. So when you hear the two scriptures today, I invite you to listen to how God's creatures among us are celebrated in scripture and our gifts. We're going to hear the psalm first, and then in a few minutes, we'll hear a passage that is usually used on Palm Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. I invite you to think about what he rides in on and how that makes a difference. And to close out this part and lead us into celebrating God's creatures, I wonder if you heard about the obituary of Big Mama the Chicken. Printed in the Kansas City Star. It's with sadness we report the passing of our all-time favorite chicken, Big Mama. Not many chickens deserve an obituary, but she does. Big Mama came into our lives in September 2013. A family friend told us about a chicken who had been spayed, raised alone in a Houston apartment, and then taken to a veterinarian to be euthanized after the family grew tired of it. That vet was a graduate of Texas A&M College of Vet Medicine, and instead of euthanizing her, had the owner relinquish rights so Big Mama could be adopted. An email was sent to the vet school asking for help in rehoming a spayed chicken who had spent its life indoors. At that point, Big Mama didn't know what it was like living outdoors or being among other chickens. In fact, our first glimpse of Big Mama was a grainy photo showing a skinny indoor chicken looking at herself in a mirror. We were hooked instantly. Did we want to give Big Mama a second chance at life? Absolutely. We drove to Houston and smuggled her into our hotel where we were staying to watch a Houston Astros game with extended family. Big Mama joined us in College Station shortly thereafter and soon discovered how beautiful life could be walking in the grass, being a member of the flock and having 24/7 love. Big Mama flourished in her new life, growing into the beautiful Rhode Island red chicken we knew she could be. We will miss her very much. Thank you, Big Mama, for being such a special part of our lives. Survived by her flock, Bubbles, Runt, Miss S, Funky, Lucky, and Blondie. It's a sweet story, isn't it? About caring for God's creatures and God's creatures as gift. We hear the song.
Even with good scripture, it's hard to follow that. I'm reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 104, verses 24 through 31, shown on page 554 and 555 in your pew Bibles. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things, innumerable, are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go, into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this, the Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied to a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing, untying the colt? They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you know that for some of your unanswered questions, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to find out? Like last week, you might remember I asked, why, God, did you make ticks? You might remember that I was talking about small things when I was sharing that message last week. And it turned out I didn't have to wait to find out, because I said, I'm going to ask God why about that when I get to heaven. I didn't have to wait. All I had to do was put that question out to you. And two people made suggestions about why God made ticks. Here's one of the answers. This person says, my youngest sister was a park ranger at Bennett Springs for 25 years, and she observed the following. When ticks were plentiful, birds flourished. And when ticks were scarce, the bird population was adversely affected. Ticks, we know that when any creature on our planet declines and even disappears, there's a ripple effect for all of life. That's what this person wrote. So ticks are food for birds. They have a purpose as part of the web of life. I still think they're creepy and I don't like them, but what I dislike or like doesn't matter all that much. Part of the web of life. The subject of God's creatures as gifts, the title of today's message, it's this giant topic. Which direction to go? I wondered and wondered. Animals as pets, farm animals that work, animals for food, exotic or endangered animals, hunting animals, big animals, small animals, flying animals, snakes, care of animals, how they're affected by climate change, bears in sanctuaries like this one, and much, much more. Also, you may know that the subject of animals, God's creatures, is one of those topics, and we have many of them nowadays, that can be divisive. Imagine that. That can cause conflicts among us. For example, in this past Friday's email message from me, I wrote about our pet dogs, and I talked about this upcoming sermon, God's creatures as gifts. And after the message was sent out, I got an email back from somebody asking if I was going to talk about how vegetarianism is the will of God. And earlier, when someone had knew that I was going to be talking about this, I got a text that said, you're going to talk about how the Bible says it's okay to kill and eat animals, right? You see the dilemma here, right? There are many, many divisive issues around God's creatures nowadays. We know this, don't we? So I've decided to come at God's creatures as gifts in this way, as a way to talk about what connects us, what draws us together, how we are in this business of life together. Listen carefully today. Don't fall asleep today. You can rest your eyes if you want. People who work in conflict resolution, bringing together people who are divided in conflict with one another, talk about finding what their people's common purpose is. What does everyone want? Now I'm going to talk about us here today. Those of us who are Christians, followers of Jesus. I'm not talking about the whole world right now. But what do we Christians all here want? We want for ourselves and others to have a life of joy, A healed, a well life, centered on God's love. A life where all have enough. All have joy and are well, filled with God's love in Jesus. We all want that, don't we? We want that. This connects us. For all souls and bodies to be well, filled with joy, knowing God's love in Jesus. And I think that God's creatures and Jesus can show us the way to this by thinking about two things, and here's how. God's creatures bring us, generate for us joy. God's creatures generate joy for us. So think about this story of Jesus. It turns out that Jesus needed the colt. The Lord has need of it, he told his disciples to say to the people who owned the colt. And so he rode it. Picture him riding it. Coats like blankets under Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem that day long ago. Why did he choose to ride the colt? Was he tired? Did he want to be led by the colt? Did he want to feel its warmth under him? Of course, part of the meaning of the story is that Jesus rode a humble colt into Jerusalem rather than a chariot or even a big horse. He chose to ride on a colt to let it carry him through the streets of Jerusalem while the people cried Hosanna to him. Oh, the joy that fills my soul. Think of all the joys that God's creatures bring to our souls. Even if you don't have pets, even if you don't like animals, think of pictures and movies and photos of the beauty and the playfulness and the strength of God's creatures, even if you're allergic to animals. Think of the intricate web of the spider, the beauty of the wings of a butterfly. Even if you're afraid of some animals, think of their part in the web of life. Through the joy that God's creatures bring us, we know God's joy. An awe on our hearts, a stillness of our souls, a healing presence. We see the connections with our own lives, even if we don't have animals in our homes. Without God's creatures, our lives would be less. We would know God's love less, for they are God's as we are God's. We are united in this joy that God's creatures bring us. And we are also united by God's creatures in our sorrow. I think that many of you know that we have had for many years, two small dogs. The blonde one is Mr. Magoo, and the little dark-haired one was Maggie, and they're rescue dogs. We had them in our home. Maggie, we had 15 years. Magoo, we've had 14 years. So they're old, and last summer, while we were gone, while we were out of town, it was Maggie's time to go and be with God. And our children needed to do that with our friend, who is a vet, came to our son's home and helped Maggie go from this life to new life. And my heart is heavy even as I say that. And we are all together in our sorrow around that, aren't we? All kinds of people, animal lovers or not, offered words of comfort and hope to us because they knew that Maggie and Mr. Magoo, part of our family for a long time. We still have Mr. Magoo. He's old now too, though. And so we are united in that kind of sorrow that comes when someone loses a beloved part of their family. When we lose a pet, we grieve, we are sorrowful, and we need one another. When we see animals that are abused or harmed, like hoarding cases or a tragic death, or the loss of the bird or bee or butterfly populations, all thinking, feeling people, all loving people are saddened by those things. And we know how pets can comfort us in our sorrow. In illness or when we lose someone, pets can strengthen us and comfort us. You don't have to love animals yourself to see how God's love can surround others through cats and dogs, horses, and all kinds of animals. And here is, where are you, Susan? Oh, here she comes. Here is one story that I have invited Susan and Snickerdoodle, her therapy dog, to share with you today.
Years ago, when my father was in a rehabilitation center recovering from a broken hip, I had my therapy animal. Not a service dog, one who is rigorously trained to do specific tasks for the disabled, but rather a dog whose sole purpose is to make people feel better. A dog with its owner, trainer, walked in and everything changed. You could feel it in the air. Smiles appeared on the faces of patients, guests, and staff alike. It was such a miraculous moment in my life that I was overcome with the yearning to make that want to happen on a regular basis. Now, we all have our little personal quirks, some known, some unknown to others. For years, I told my husband that he couldn't get old or sick because I didn't deal well with that kind of people. Though I have to tell you, I wasn't real excited about the alternative. Now, the problem arose as to how to overcome this weakness of mine and bring joy into the lives of those who could use more brightness. But, of course, God had that one all figured out. Believe it or not, he sent into our lives a little bitty puppy with the most mellow personality one could ever wish for. When I took our little snickerdoodle for his first visit to the vet commented, without any indication from me, about how this little guy with his wonderful personality would make a perfect therapy dog. So God had sent me this terrific dog. Doubt still lingered in my soul as I had never trained an animal before. But after much searching on the internet, I found an organization called Canines for Christ. And when I read about them, I knew I wanted to be part of their mission. I inquired, and although they were several states away, they welcomed me with open arms and lots of encouragement. After long hours of training, less than a year later, we were welcomed into hospitals, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities. And I knew by the joy that Snickerdoodle brought to all he encountered that this was meant to be. God had sent me my tool, Snickerdoodle. And still today, I remind myself that God doesn't necessarily call the equipped, but he always equips the called.
Please thank Susan. Our animal ministry here at St. Mark's began 6 years ago this month and is dedicated to supporting animals and humans together in that bond, and recognizes that when you help an animal, you're often helping the person who cares about them. Our animal ministry offers an annual blessing of the animals, a pet memorial service, helps people so that they can keep their pets in their homes, and really has been out in the community increasing awareness about St. Mark's by participating in a whole variety of community events. And they have a table in the courtyard this morning. Now, the members of the animal ministry don't always agree about every aspect of animal care, but the desire for everybody to have joy and to be well, to know God's love in Jesus, is what unites them and unites us. There is this uniting power and love of God's creatures, and that's why we responsibly conserve and care. Why we care is because caring for creatures helps us better know how to care for one another. That's why we teach children how to care for animals. Through that, they learn how to care deeply for one another. And without God's creatures, the world is empty. We are less, and that's not what we or God wants. God's creatures bring us joy. They make us laugh and love, like this cat wearing a hat that looks like those made by our quilting ministry for chemo patients. Chemo caps on a cat today. A cat with a hat, a chemo cap, a chemo hat. Say that several times fast. Animals tend us in our sorrow and draw us to each other and connect us. They make us think and feel and want God's love to be more fully known in Jesus. God's creatures teach us about the web of life because they bear God's love. They teach us and they help us live with more joy and more compassion and help us remember that God loves all of his creation, and thus, so should we. Thanks be to God.